with some more Colorado football analysis. A little bit quieter this time of year. They got everybody on campus, started their winter strength and conditioning work. I guess the big news item at this point is that they do have a vacancy in terms of a defensive line coach.
Yeah, Domantas Petko, you know, great opportunity for him, you know, going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think probably one that maybe he wasn't, you know, unhappy here. Clearly he wasn't. I mean, you saw the exit video, stuff like he was going to miss a lot of people here. But, you know, when you get an opportunity like that, you take it. And there was another coach a couple of years ago that had that same type of deal where I remember, I think it was year one, where they had
came over from LSU.
Yeah, came over from LSU, and very quickly it was like, oh, he got an opportunity with the NFL. It was like, yeah, go take it. And so he gets that job. So now you need a new D-line coach. And so that'll be, what, three or four defensive line coaches already for the Buffs? I think it's a new one every year.
Yep.
Yeah, so so we'll see what they do there.
Actually, it would be the fifth then, right? Because they've already had four, I think, under Coach Prime, haven't they? Sal Cinceri. You had
Damian Lewis,
Petko, and then the LSU coach that came in before going to the Vikings.
Yeah.
And
if you throw in Sapp, as well. So they've had a lot of turnover there, but you know, hopefully they, you know, Coach Prime's got a lot of connections. I'm sure they'll land somebody of quality.
I haven't got the sense that Warren Sapp necessarily wants to be a full-time coach at this level because of the amount of hours. I mean, he's got certainly responsibilities and he's hands-on with the defensive line group, but that's another level of responsibility that you have to add on from a workload standpoint if you take that position.
Yeah, it seems to me like he loves the camaraderie and he loves being in the trenches, but there's obviously more to that job if you're going to take it on full time. But he loves kind of the roots of the coaching aspect of it, which is fine, but it sounds like maybe that assistant type role is more suits him.
Colorado did sign three high school prep prospects during the regular signing period, which was here recently. Joseph Petko did not sign. He verbally committed to the Buffaloes on Christmas. Of course, his father was still the defensive tackles coach in Boulder at that point. So there's no pressure really on him to make a decision because he's got until the summer. So we'll see what happens there. Just from a number standpoint, especially when you're looking at the uncertainty with Ezra Christensen, you start to feel a little uneasy about the depth up front. That's one group that has to get quite a bit sorted out here in the coming months.
Yeah, and I imagine for Joseph, I mean, the whole news with his dad comes down like right before signing day. And so maybe that's just a, you know what, let me take a step back and reevaluate things type of deal. But yeah, I mean, numbers wise, they need him, you know, and we were talking about this beforehand, but like, if you don't have a couple of these guys, all of a sudden you're pretty thin and need to add a little bit more. I like the additions they've made, but if you don't get all these guys in here, you get kind of thin. And we saw last year that can get very thin in a hurry. You know, we saw a couple guys get injured. You know, Lightfoot doesn't even play the year. Tavian Coleman gets injured early. All of a sudden you're down to, you know, three, four guys. You're moving Mana Tamani over. You're moving Quincy Wiggins inside. And so that's a situation you want to avoid. But they're already in that, sort of. But if you lose a couple of these guys, you're really in it.
Thinking back to 16, it was kind of a miracle that those three defensive tackles stayed healthy pretty much the whole season, played most of the reps, because that is just so rare. It is one of those positions that you really have to have a lot of depth. You know, it's with Ezra Christensen, you know, that is arguably one of your top additions transfer-wise, and it was a very confusing situation because he had a ton of offers, Brian, and so there was some confusion over his eligibility, and then he signs, the announcement gets pulled back from CU, then gets announced again. I think a lot of people are just kind of want to hear a final word on that situation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are waiting on that. We're not going to get it for a while. I think basically – it's my understanding what he's waiting for. The only chance he's going to have to play is if the courts decide to extend the Diego Pavia rule that allows JUCO players to not count those years and be able to keep playing. Otherwise, he's out of eligibility, and that's just the deal with him. I mean, he's played four full seasons, and I think it's 49 games in college football he's played. So he's played his four full seasons, but if he gets the JUCO ruling, then maybe he can stay. People I've talked to, there's not a whole lot of hope that that's going to go through. It is one area that the NCAA has sort of stood firm on is some eligibility things. I know people might laugh at that because there's guys getting 6, 7, 8 years, but the common thing with those guys is that they've all missed multiple years with injury or whatever. That's not the case with you know, with the JUCO kids sometimes. It's not the case with Ezra. He hasn't missed multiple years with injuries. He's played 10-plus games in at least 4 years. And so hopefully – the reason why the Buffs signed him, by the way, is just from my understanding, is that they really like him. They really want him. And like, well, you know what, let's sign him so he's on board in case this thing goes through. But I think it's very 50-50 that he's going to actually play for the Buffs. And I would maybe put the odds at less than that.
And if I'm Ezra Christensen, I'm frustrated because a year ago, same scenario, he would have been eligible. And yeah, they're just because of the lack of leadership and stuff getting tied up in courts and the NCAA getting sued, it's just hard to get to a point where this eligibility stuff is set in stone. And I really thought I was disappointed in the conference commissioners that they decided to go away from the just simple 5 for 5. It's just, it makes the most sense.
Yeah, it really does. Like, and what was one proposal? Well, let's go to 9 games. It's like, at that point, just go to 5 for 5.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point? Yeah, we'll give you 3/4 of the season, but not the full season. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, honestly. That's just stupid. So I don't know why they wouldn't just do 5 for 5. If you're willing to go to 9, just go to 12. So we'll see what happens. You hope Ezra Christensen, by the way, if that goes through, you also probably get Kareem Harden back because Kareem Harden's waiting for that as well. And so now your offensive line gets bolstered a little bit too if Kareem wants to come back, which it's my understanding he does. But I'm hoping for Ezra because I had a chance to interview him, before we were cut off from those. But his story is incredible. He's been through a lot in his life and, lived the first half of his life in an orphanage, and then came to the United States. And he's been through a lot in his life and just a really awesome young man. He's been through a lot and really made the most of it and, come through, pretty well. And so I'm hoping he gets another shot because he's a pretty good player. I think he could really, if he gets this year, I think he can really set himself up for potentially having a future in the NFL.
Talked about the need for a new defensive tackles coach. This coaching staff overall looks much different than it did a year ago. You still have Jason Phillips back, but he's coaching now the outside receivers with the distinction that Rashad Davis is coaching the inside guys. I don't know if that's going to really change a whole lot from what they did last year, but we know that the receivers have to block in this offense.
Yes, they do, and we know they didn't really block in the offense last year. And I've gone back recently and kind of watched some of the highlights of some of the games from last year, and there were so many plays. It was like, geez, these guys didn't block. And, not to throw anyone under the bus, but there's a particular, really good receiver from last year that didn't block at all.
Is he at Arizona State now?
He might be at Arizona State right now, but there was a few times like, man, such a talented receiver, but he can't do that aspect of it, or at least didn't want to. And so, that's something that in Brennan Marion's offense, that's not going to fly. I remember when he was first hired, looking over a whole bunch of stuff, and he talked about that one of the mantras of the offense is, how you play without the ball is how you feel about your teammates. And meaning, if you're a receiver, as far as a receiver goes, if you're not getting the ball, you better block your tail off, or else, you're not playing. So that's going to be a big deal for this team.
Johnny Mack takes over the running backs room. Not a lot of fanfare there just because he was a promotion from within. Last year, the least fanfare was with Gunnar White, and he ended up being maybe the best hire from that group, and he was a promotion.
Yeah, and we talked about last year, over time, doesn't it feel like a lot of those hires that have the least fanfare or the ones that fans are at least excited about wind up being the good ones? I remember, I think it was Quan Drake several years ago was coming in the D-line coach, and everybody was like, he's coming from small schools. When he left, he was like, oh, no, we're losing Quan Drake, And so there's been a few of those guys over the years that those have been like some of the really good hires. And so I like the fact that he's been here and he knows this team a little bit. And, it'll be interesting to see what that running back room looks like, because obviously Marion's going to have, a big say in what that room looks like as well.
And it seems like Josh Niblett's fit in really well with that group. A very vocal voice in the meeting rooms and out there in the winter strength and conditioning program. I like the blend of, you know, bringing in a high school guy that has that experience. I think at this level, you can't go too heavy NFL otherwise. Because I think they're, on some level, Brian, if you're used to NFL guys, there's some things that NFL guys just do and you don't have to coach, right?
Yeah.
At this level, it's a little bit more intricate in terms of you really have to pour over every detail, whereas at the NFL level, you don't. So having some guys that are used to being teachers as opposed to just NFL coaches, I think, is important.
Yeah, I think that's something that maybe this team missed last year, was not having as many of those guys like that. And so I think that's why I think Marion's such a big hire. I think Niblett's a big hire. Watching that team meeting, by the way, I was hoping that they made it to the stock show down in Denver. So I'm like, they're set for it. I mean, they're all dressed for it. I mean, there's a lot of cowboy hats on that staff right now. So, but yeah, I think there's some good energy, you know, coming into this coaching staff, which they needed really.
Yeah, and then Marv defensively, linebackers group. It sounds like he's going to kind of tag team it with Andre Hart, as far as it sounds.
Yeah, I think it's more Marv is the lead guy, and Andre Hart's the, I guess, assistant linebackers coach is my understanding. But, yeah, look, Coach Prime has been with Andre Hart for a very long time. I didn't expect them to, like, part ways, you know. That's one that he's going to make room for Andre Hart. I mean, but I think that's a good change, because that's a room that we've talked about has really kind of struggled at times. And so I think a new voice in that room is needed. I'm glad Andre Hart's still there, but I think a new voice in that room is needed.
And Kevin Mathis also has been with Coach Prime for a very long time, really since the beginning, I think, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be now coaching nickels, as opposed to in the past, his designation was cornerbacks coach. So they bring in Aaron Fletcher to coach the cornerbacks. That's going to be a wide open position. I don't know who you peg as their starting cornerbacks at this point.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I guess for me, I would pencil Justin Eaglin in there, just because, you know, he had so much success at JMU this last year. But beyond that, I mean, RJ Johnson, there was a lot of hope for him going into last season, and he has the injury. That's probably the two that I would pencil in right now. But you got a lot of competition there. I think it's going to be I don't know how good the room is, but it's a deep room that looks like there's a lot of guys that can really compete there.
And should mention, they also are going to need a new special teams coordinator, because Michael Pollock will not be back in that role on the staff this coming year. Anything else? It's been a little bit of a quiet time, and before you know it, spring ball is going to be kicking off.
Yeah, well, one last thing is just earlier this week, Brady Russell, you know, wins a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. And, man, I was so happy for that kid. He's not a kid anymore, but, like, you know, it reminded me of the 2022 season, you know, when Coach Prime's hired, you know, and everything. There's a lot of people that said, man, it must be so much better covering this. And I always used to say, and would still say, it wasn't that awful covering the team before that. I mean, the football was bad, but there was a lot of really good people that were involved with that. And Brady Russell was one of them. And Brady Russell, I don't know how many times I interviewed that guy, but he was a go-to quote for 4 years or whatever. And just a, he's just the epitome of try hard, right?
Yep.
Comes in as a walk-on, and immediately I think he was the scout team player of the year his true freshman year, earned a scholarship eventually, becomes their top tight end, you know, and now is carving out an NFL career, and he wins the Super Bowl. I mean, that's fantastic. I love that for Brady Russell.
Don't get me wrong. I love Rudy in that movie.
Yeah.
But Brady Russell's like the real walk-on story, right?
Right.
He won. Yeah. He's a Super Bowl champion now.
Yeah. It's an insult to call Brady Russell Rudy, because Rudy didn't play. Brady Russell was a pretty darn good player here. And
yes,
so
yes.
It's a Rudy-like story, but he's way better than Rudy was.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Rudy.
Congratulations, Brady. His hair game is still on point out there
in
Seattle.
It's better than it was at Colorado, I think.
Yeah, he's got the mullet down up there.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back with more analysis either probably right before spring ball or when spring ball begins.